It says here quickly, the days that are numbered. A lot of people don't believe, are they?
Mm-hmm.
The days are numbered. It's all programmed. It's all in the blueprint. The days are numbered. Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draw nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While he warned off the dangers that die in their path, but they heed not his mercy and to kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. So where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily outrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. For those who so carelessly forgotten their God. There's a holy and a beautiful city, whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven, when Patmos and exiles he trod. His high massive wall is of jasper, and the city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. No sin is allowed in that city, no hunting, fighting, or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no creep on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrow and cares are forgotten,
No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. 'Cause in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for that white city John saw coming down. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moist in the eye. There's no disappointment in heaven. No ending or cloud in the sky. The saints are all sanctified and holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessing I'll share. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I shall be in their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're saved now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcame sin and the tempter. They reached that fair city at last. For in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that white city John saw coming down. I'm bound for that beautiful city that God has prepared for His own, for all the redeemed of all the ages. Sing praises around God's white throne. Sometimes I get homesick for heaven, and the glory there to behold. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessing to see. And in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for the white city John saw coming down.
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the
dewdrops of mercy are bright.
Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Maria Jesus, I'm crying, saying, Benerbly, Belfast, zu der selbigen Stund. Du sie nur erwähnt, wenn der Vater geschickt, der einst auf viel die Wahrheit verwund. Sie sind der
sing, weil Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wer Heil zu derselbigen gestimmt.
O hat
nicht dein Jesus getragen die Schuld, gebeset am Kreuz auch für dich. O floss nicht sein Blut voller barmenter Huld, nur alles um dich und für mich. Sieh, in das Sieg, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wer hat zu derselbigen Stund. Dein Weinen und deine Gebete sind nicht, wodurch du mich Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut deines Heilands befreit von Gericht, er ist der die Gnade gekränkt. Sieh, in das Sieg, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wer Heil zu der selbige Stund.
O
zweifle nicht länger, o glaub's gewiss, du hast nun sonst nichts mehr zu tun.
Dein Jesus,
der trat auch für dich in den Ritt, in ihm kannst du seliglich ruhen. Sieh,
in der See,
der Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wer Heil zu des selbigen Stund. Let's just love Jesus, that's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. Worship His name, adore Him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. Worship His name. Adore Him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in His presence. Nothing else matters. Worship His name. Adore Him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus.
Well, last week we talked about why we don't celebrate Christmas. And I don't think we have to repeat it. You know, we made a very thorough job and we just took it to the cleaners, and why we do not celebrate Christmas. And we went back into biblical history, and we found out that there's nothing in the Bible that tells us about celebrating the birth of Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. But it lets us know that it's definitely not December the 25th, and we brought it out why we don't recognize, because it's a pagan thing. It's the sun worshippers, and we went thoroughly through it all. If you want to just go back and just keep listening it and listening until it resonates in your heart. because it's got nothing to do with Jesus, it's got nothing to do with Christianity. It's a pagan thing, and there's nowhere in the early church where they ever even thought about celebrating the birth of Christ. It was brought on by Satan through Constantine in 325 A.D., and then he decided, he set out a decree that from now on, he was trying to unite the Christians with the sun worshippers. And at the end of the day, he made a decree, and he said it, and it was law. And the people that refused to go along with that decree, they were butchered and slaughtered and burned at the stakes. And they had to go in the caves and the mountains to hide themselves from this decree. Mm-hmm. And see, we just brought that out, and we went right thoroughly with it. So we're not going to keep beating the drums on that thing, you know.
And that's why when you will go follow the horse riders, first the deceptive horse rider set out to ride that white horse rider, and then that changed its color into the red horse rider. Christianity was very heavily persecuted up until Constantine. So you can see how it changed its color then to the black horse rider because of changing the water baptism. It went into the dark ages, and that's how it went. And then that black horse rider was riding, and then the pale horse rider was the Laodicea at church age.
Yeah, we put it out pretty plain. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go back and beat the dead horse, because if people want to know the truth, we're telling the truth here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go, that thing out there they call church, you'll never hear the truth out there, because they are originated from Satan, and they cannot tell you the truth. They'll make sure you never find out the truth. And what they're going to do now, they're going to work overtime to keep people away from this here, from what you and I are saying, because we're the last leg of the journey from those seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand. And after that, it goes into something else. It goes into blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth, and then it goes into the separating of the sheep and the goats, and then it goes into the day of the Lord, and then it goes into then it goes into the separation of the sheep and the goats. And then Jesus sets up his kingdom. It's just that simple. It's a very simple program. Anyway, for you and I, because all our lives, that's all we ever wanted to know. We always wanted to know this great God. And now that we found all the answers to the end time here, and we're just laying it out there and exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, exposing the things that we have learned in the last, that's important to the church age of Laodicea. Well, that's basically all we're doing. We're just holding on to the things that we have been taught. And that's our only commission. And we do it gladly. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into your presence, Lord, and give you thanks for this another day of life, another opportunity, Lord, to come together and sit with you in heavenly place and expound on the things you've shown us over the years, Lord. I just pray to give us grace to say it in such a way, Lord, that it will be understood, that it will resonate in the hearts of the people, because the God of this world has blinded the hearts and the minds of the people, that the glorious light of the gospel cannot shine through. And we know we're living in these closing days of time, where just any time the heavens will split open, they'll see the Son of Man shine, coming back with power and great glory, Lord. We just pray for grace that we will prepare ourselves for that day, Lord. We just pray to continue the gift that increases. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, like I say, what we're saying here, we're not playing a game. This is serious stuff. We're down to the last leg of the journey, and we're the two people that are just doing exactly what the Lord wants us out to do. We're holding on to the truth that's been given to the church of Laodicea, and if we don't say it, it's not going to be said, because believe you me, there's nobody out there that's been honed out to do that. We've been honed out to hold on to the line of the truth that has been given to the church age of Laodicea, and we're living in the church age of Laodicea, and it's very rapidly running to an end, like that song says, the days are numbered, you know, like we said earlier. These days are numbered. We're going to bump right into it, and the only thing that you can do is to prepare yourself for that day, because it's coming. It's unstoppable. God can't stop it. Jesus can't stop it. We can't stop it. Nobody can stop it because, see, God put his word above his very name. He made that blueprint way back before the foundation of the world. And because he put his word above his very name, and I was seeing it throughout the weekend, that what unites us with God, God has put his word above his very name. He's accountable to his word. Jesus in the garden put that word above his very name, above his reputation, above everything else. He put that word above his name, and therefore he's one with God. And if you and I can put that word above our reputation, our desires, our passion, just put that word above our name, above anything that we have, say, and do, then we are united with God, with Jesus, with the holy angels, and with all these patriarchs that died, and they put the word above their name. And just like Apostle Paul, he put the word of God above his name. He got persecuted and all that, and all throughout the dark ages. These people put the word above their name. That unites them with God, with Jesus, with that eternal spirit. And that's all we've done. Over the course of time, we have put this word above our very reputation, above anything, that above family, above friends, above anything. We put that word above our very name. And that's what unites us. That's why we're doing these things. We have only one passion in this world, and that's to lift up Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that's worthy. He's the one that took it upon himself to go to Calvary, to pray for our sins so that we don't have to go to hell. And that's all of what we're about. We're just, like I say, we're the last leg of that journey that Jesus said, Becky started it, this is life eternal, that they believe on him whom God had sent. And then it evolves, it keeps moving ahead, that stream keeps flowing, and like I keep saying over and over, this is eternal life, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And when I go search the scripture and I take a bird's eye view of everything, the only thing that Jesus sent was those seven stars that he held in his right hand. And then these seven angels, what they did, they're the angels to the church age of Laodicea. And all that angel did, he took the vocal cords of Apostle Paul, and he spoke in that early church, in that first church, the church age of Ephesus. It started with Ephesus, and it went on to the different one, right throughout Laodicea, and then Laodicea backs it all up when it says, but in the days of the voice. See, these people were just voices. These people were just, like the Apostle Paul, he was just a vocal cord of that angel, and then he spoke it and he gave it to the people. It's so very simple for you and I to see it, because I'm here and the church here to Laodicea, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. He was that, he's in these angels speaking throughout the great, throughout the dark ages, and everybody that listens and obeys and came under the ministry of these seven angels, they had eternal life, because Jesus, this is going to be eternal life that they believe on them, and I will say. And that's when we heard about Brother Branham, we just embraced it with a passion. And I took, and when I heard about baptism in Jesus' name, I did exactly what the Bible says, because I put that word above my reputation. I didn't care. I got made fun of. Oh, he'd been baptized 22 times. I don't know where to come up with that number. But anyway, I've only been baptized once. That Hutterite baptism is not a baptism. What that Hutterite baptism is, it's you're being coerced. And I'm speaking plainly. I went through these torture chambers. I spent a lot of my life depressed, wondering what's going on here anyway. Until we had a man come to our house. I told you time and time again. He said that Hutterite thing is not real. It's deception. And all that Hutterite baptism is, it's instituted by Constantine, it's baptizing, and the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And all it is, they're coercing the people into making a pact with the devil. And then the only way to get out of that, back in the grace age, was to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can find somebody that'll baptize you, and that name. But as of October the 15th, 2021, that baptism thing is null and void. It has served its purpose. The grace age is over. There is no way that anybody after October the 15th can be in that bridal chamber. It's just overdone. That's what the grace age was for, to draw out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got baptized when that thing was still on. But as October the 15th, 2021, it ceases to have a purpose. You can still get baptized, but it doesn't mean a. And like I say, all that Hutterite baptism was, it was to coerce all these young people. Just when they get up to the age of accountability, they coerce them and they deceive them into getting baptized at the title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not valid. And all we're doing, we're exposing it. And then to make that baptism, that diabolical, satanic, counterfeit baptism, to make it null and void and to get out of that pact with the devil, all you have to do is believe the message for your day. That is the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. That nullifies all that stuff. You have no, then you won't have no excuse. Like the grace age is over, and now all you got to do is do exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 22, accept the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Actually, all you got to do is accept what we're saying here. This thing that you and I are saying, they are the truth. They are that message for the end time. They are the meat in due season. They are for this hour. And all you got to do is believe what we're saying, and that disqualifies that diabolical, satanic thing that you made with the devil. You made a pact with the devil because through deception, Satan has worked overtime throughout the dark ages to lure people into that false satanic water baptism. And I know what you're saying. It's the truth. And all, like I say, all you got to do is believe what you're saying, because there's nothing else out there. We've been around. We've been over and over time and time again. I've been around the world. If there was anything, I'd be the last person to do this, what we're doing. But we've been hound out, and we've given that commission to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what it is. That Hutterite thing is the unfruitful works of darkness. It looks so holy. It's a religion. And they got people deceived. But the proof is in the pudding. Like we said time and time again, that they cannot cast out devils. They cannot lay hands on the sick because they're not of God. That's what we're trying to say here.
Yeah, I was thinking about Joseph with his brothers. He was telling his brothers about the dreams that he had. He had this dream that they were out in the field binding their sheaves, and then all of a sudden his sheaves rose up and stood upright, and all the surrounding sheaves bowed down to him. Mm-hmm. And then he also had a dream where the sun and the moon and the stars, they bowed down. And he told his brothers this dream. And the more he told them that, the dreams that he had, they said to him, "Do you think we should come down and worship you?" And in the end, you can
see. Even his dad was offended.
Yes, that's right. So if you he said to him, "Do you think your mother and me should bow, and your brother should bow down and worship you?" So and when you will look at years down the road, how he was sold into the Egyptians, and he had to serve there, and then he was falsely accused and went into prison, and then he spent years in there, and finally he. And the time was right, and God pulled him out, and he made him head second in command over Egypt. Mm-hmm. And he saved all of Egypt. And then, as time came, the Jacob and his sons, they were running out of food. So they heard that in Egypt was food. And, so he sent them down, and he let them, and they actually literally bow down to and worshiped him. Mm-hmm. Just like his dream so many years before foretold him. And see, that was all God, and he was trying to show him something, God, and his brothers, they couldn't accept him. But when time came, they had to do the very thing that his dreams told them. And the same way with when you will go to the church age of Laodicea and all the church ages, the seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand, those are the men that God had for each church period in the grace age. And these men had a message to deliver to the people. And in each, it was a little different because it was for that specific period of time. And when you will read in the church age of Philadelphia, it will say the same thing, that because there's a, that when the dark ages, after the dark ages, when Martin Luther came with the just shall live by faith, they organized. Mm-hmm. And then Wesley came with holy living. Mm-hmm. And then when you will read in the church age of Philadelphia, see, God moves on. And these men, they just stayed there and organized the Lutherans. And it says here, listen, I am going to make those people from the synagogues of Satan who say they are Jews, yet are not, but are lying. Look, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. See, those are the true people, the true children of God that move on with God and what God has for their hour. And eventually those people will come and worship at those people's feet because they will acknowledge that God loved them and had and they really had the truth for their day and hour. And so that's it's not like they're literally going to come and worship, but they will have to acknowledge.
Yeah, recognize.
Recognize this is what God has done and we missed it.
And here in this end time, the closing days of time, they're going to have to come and acknowledge that Sam and Orion have been right all along. Just because they go out there and they make our name black and light things about it. But the end of the day, it's always the end of the day that you have to look at. They're going to have to acknowledge that Sam and Orion are right. And if you can get yourself to that place where you can actually, to the point where you can actually believe it and you're not afraid to tell somebody because it's the truth, then you are going to get that same package that we have, like we keep saying over and over again, out of your belly will come flowing rivers of living water, and you're going to have the rights to say, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll have all, it's all in that package. It's all in that stream, and I keep saying it over and over again. That's the only thing that's left before the rapture comes. And once the rapture comes, then it's going to be hell on earth, and you don't want to be left behind. You don't want your children to be left here. You don't want your grandchildren to be left here. But if you can only get yourself to believe what we're saying, it's not our, it's not us that are saying it. The Lord has prepared us the last forever, ever since 71 when he saved me. He's prepared us to do exactly what we're doing here, to keep a line on this truth, to expose that other right thing. I was laid up for 2 years, and I had an opportunity to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And that horror, I think it never was nothing. There's nothing in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, anything about the horror. There's only just a little bit of a paragraph. And what Satan did over the years, over the centuries, he hijacked that thing. And that's all that horror, I think. It's a hijacked thing. And they never, these big people, these Peter Riedemann, all they were Catholic priests. They just somehow got a little bit of a thing, and they broke away from the Catholic Church. But they brought the Catholic Church into the college that Andreas Ehrenbreit and that Jakob Hut, they were just a copycat from the Pope system. Mm-hmm. They called them elders, and they think we're blaspheming when we're mentioning these holy people. But they got the same principles that the popes had throughout the Dark Ages. Yeah, but they call him elders. And to this day, they call that Pope, that Leonard from Delta, he's just a minor pope. They operate on the same Dark Age principles.
That's right. It's because it's a spirit, and it's a spirit that's driving them. And the same way with that Riedemann, I read his book, but there was nothing inspirational about that book. See, when the Spirit of God inspires something, it never returns void. And all I got out from that book was rules and regulation and legalism. Works. It's really not the inspiration of God. See, when I got the book of Brother Brenham, that book to me, I felt it was life and spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. And that's why when these men, there's a spirit that's driving them. And that spirit you can is an old spirit, and it's just evolves and
just repeats itself.
That's right, and it just uses different individuals, but behind it is still the same spirit of controlling people and controlling people's mind and keeping them in bondage. And that's all that legalism always does.
That's why you and I, we always go back to the seventh star, because it's the only channel that you can trust and disclose in this time. And besides the seventh star, Satan puts up his thing and to keep you off course to deceive people. That's all he's done throughout the ages, is to deceive people, and then he takes them out to hell and death. And that's all it's about. That's why you and I, we over and over and over again keep telling people, This is eternal life. Everybody wants eternal life, but the only way you get it, eternal life, you got to stay within that confines of Scripture, within that channel, within that stream. This is eternal life. This is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send to you. And I, when I heard about Brother Branham, I told those people that told me about it, I said, this is a cult. I don't believe a word you're saying. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord if this is true. If the Lord tells me it's true, then I'll believe it. And I think I fasted for about 2, maybe 3 days. The third day, the Lord came and he spoke to me. I heard an audible voice saying to me, because I went to the Lord honestly, wanted to know what this Brother Brennan thing is all about. And the Lord spoke it right into my spirit. This is my prophet. If you will believe it, you will be blessed. If you don't believe it, it's still my prophet. So, of course, what I did, I chose to believe it. And then I heard about water baptism in Jesus' name. That was a Wednesday when they told me about this. And then I fasted for 2, 3 days. And then I went right that Sunday night, I got baptized in Jesus' name. I believed it because the Lord spoke to me, this is my prophet. If you believe it, you will be blessed. And I've been blessed ever since. There's no devil now can get me off course. Yeah, then they heard back at the hall and I got baptized. And then this guy heard I got baptized. And then before you know it, I got baptized 22 times already. And they make a mockery out of this whole thing. But no, I got baptized once. That baptism that was I baptized at the calling, like I say, is just the lurement from Satan to make a pact with the devil. Now, all these other rites, I'm sorry. I got to tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. They're not going to like it very much, but it's better you tell them the truth. And like I told that one guy, he was ready to kick me out of his house for telling them that. And I said, I'd rather you kick me out of your house for telling you the truth than whine and dine me for telling you a lie. I keep telling you the truth. And that's what we're doing today. To this day, we've been evicted. We've been kicked out from every society. But we're telling people the truth. That's part of the program. That's part of the things that you have to go through in life. If you tell people the truth, you're going to get the same dough that Christians got throughout the Dark Ages. They were burned at the stake. They were shunned. They were kicked out. They did everything they could to them, whatever the law of the land allowed. But here, the law of the land does not allow them to kill us. Not yet anyway, but it'll probably come to that before it's all over. But they do whatever they can. They take everything away from you, just like it says in the Bible. Sie werden now aus eure Häuser stoßen. Sie werden euch das eure berauben. That's exactly what they did. They took everything away from me, just thinking they're doing God a service. My own dad, my own father-in-law, my own brothers-in-law. They're all part of that diabolical regime. And they do exactly. I hadn't seen my children for months, and I came home one day to visit them, and my dad calls me up, what do you want here? I says, I came to visit my children. They're not your children. Mean. And, oh, man. He didn't say that once I was done with it. And then for years I had been home. And then that Eli, my dad was out of commission by then. He got Alzheimer's. And then that other guy took over, that Eli. So I came home, visited my wife. And he called me, what are you doing here? I came to visit my wife. She's not your wife. She belongs to the church. See what they do? It's the same diabolical thing as it was back in the Dark Ages. And the Lord allowed me to go through the all these things. And the only thing I could do, I could only do what the Bible said. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. God's going to repay these people. I can't take things into my own hands. And that's what I did. I just had to hop and leave, just like they said. You got till sundown to get out of here. If you're not out of here by sundown, the sheriff will come and get you. I just took up and I just left. But I left it with the Lord. Lord, you deal with these people the way you see fit. I'm not going to lose any sleep. Whatever you do with them, it'll be done. And that's what they do. That's why we're exposing it. That's why the Lord had me go through all these things so that now I can expose it for what it is. And it's the truth. And then the Lord led me to the ministry of Brother Branham. This is eternal life, that they will believe on them whom I will send. I found out that God sent that angel, and that angel took the vocal cord of William Branham. And when William Branham went off the scene, when he passed on in 1965, that angel took the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jacks, and he continued on with the program till the day that he, 2004, when he died. And then, like I say, then we were all being tested. The Lord found you and I faithful to hold on to the things that we have been taught. We went through a lot of shaking when Brother Jackson left the scene. There was a lot of things came out, false teaching and everything under the sun. But you and I, we stuck with that word. That's why if you want to be one with God, you have to put that word above your very reputation. No matter what people say, they can kick you out, they can take everything away from you. You're staying with that word no matter what. Hey, one day my father-in-law came into my house and he said, if you don't recant as of tomorrow morning, you don't have a wife, you don't have any children, you got nothing, you don't even have a name, you're just a number. Well, I said, you'll do whatever the Lord allows you to. If the Lord allows it, then it'll work for my benefit. In the meantime, I'm not going to recant because I've decided to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. That all took place here in the last 30 years, you know, and I'm still fighting for truth. We're still exposing the unfruitful word. We're still standing for truth. And that unites us to be one with the Lord, with God of heaven, because God put that word above his name. Jesus put that word above his very name. The apostles put that word above his very name. All the Christians that were burned at the stake, they stuck with that word. And that's all you and I are doing. We're staying with that word. And here at the end time, the Lord has given you and I the responsibility to hold on to this truth and to gift the word that living water. And that's why we can truly say, if you come under them, this message here that you and I are delivering on a day-to-day basis, you are going to be part of that nucleus of people that's going to go somehow in that rapture. You're going to be taken out somehow. I don't know how God does it, but somehow you will save your soul, you will save your household, and you will save your children, your grandchildren. They're all in that number. Just done that. I don't know how it's going to be, but I got to trust the word because he told that jailer and he told that Ethiopian, if you can only get yourself to believe the message for your day, you and your whole household will be saved. No questions there. No ifs, no buts, no ends. That's all. And it's still valid to this very day. If you can only believe what we're trying to tell you for the last 15 years, you're going to be in that number somehow, some way. All you got to do is believe it, and then you tell somebody. You're not ashamed to tell people to tell it, that you believe what Sam and Lorraine are saying is the truth. That's all you have to do. And of course you'll be shunned. Of course you might even be kicked out. I don't know what they'll do to you.
Mm-hmm. But it says in Revelation 3, verse 10, because you have kept my admonition to endure steadfastly, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is about to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. See, they're going to go through a tribulation period while those that are remain steadfast and faithful, God is going to make a way from them. And it's going to take them out before that tribulation comes and hits the earth. So there's promises in God's word if you can believe what God is doing for your day and hour, and he will do his part.
See, the tribulation is already on, but it just hasn't hit its height yet. Mm-hmm. The Lord is waiting patiently. He's not willing that any should perish. And that civil war and the states, that's on now too. It's already begun. You can go back. I think we got it on, you can just tap in George Washington's vision. And he'll tell you exactly about that third peril. That's just on now. Mm-hmm. That's why this thing is fighting in Chicago and over in Portland and starting every state, down in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's going to be a clash between truth and error. Mm-hmm. It's going to be between lawlessness and law. Law and order and lawlessness. That's the clash. Now it's clashing. Mm-hmm. And the same with that tribulation. It's already implemented, but it hasn't reached its peak yet. The minute it reaches a point where that's when the Lord comes down and takes, that's why that rapture has to be, because it hasn't hit its peak yet. That tribulation, like I say, it's on, and it's gonna, one of these days, it's gonna hit the peak, and then Jesus comes down and takes his people out, and then all hell breaks loose. Then Satan takes over the planet. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a very good place to be.
I guess it'll reach its peak once those two witnesses will be killed.
Yeah. Yeah, then until then, that we still have time to believe what we're saying. That's your only way of escape. Because we read the Bible all along. We know what the Bible says. We read that blueprint. All we're doing now, we're just telling people about that blueprint. Because, like that song says, quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. It's up the road. Nobody can stop it. All you can do is believe what we're saying, prepare yourself, and then you and your whole household will somehow be safe. It's just that simple. I don't know how simple you can put it. And that's, like I say, the Lord has hauled you and I out to do this very job. It's just the work of the God of heaven, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to find somebody that he knows is not going to buckle, is not going to bend, bow, or bow. Because just like he did back in the days of Daniel, there was three people that were thrown in that fire. They told that king, we ain't bowed down to no idol. He throws in the fire if he wants, and God can protect us in that fire, and he did. You know, here's the same thing. God protected me throughout the ages. They tried to do everything they could to me, and like I say, if the law of the land would allow it, they'd have killed me 10 times over. But see, I'm sticking with the word, because that's the only option that you have. That's the only option that's open to me. Therein is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm just continuing on. I'm just holding on to the word of God. I put that word of God about my family, about everything that I have and own. And the Lord's been good to us. Mm-hmm. That's why the Lord is so good to us. There's so much you could say and talk about, because when you look around and you think about it, we didn't even really want the electric car. We didn't even know if there's such a thing. And the Lord moved on us to go get that electric car and everything, and give us this house here, give us that brand new Volvo to do back in the day. And all the Lord does that because we have put the word above our very name, and we've decided to trust him. We have sought the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and we believe the message for our day. We believe that God sent use Brother Branham to deliver me and Ducey to do exactly what he came to do. He was the church age of Laodicea. He was that prophet that sings about the over in Malachi, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. We're right in line with the word of God. That's why the Lord has given us the responsibility to tell it to the people. And you're all going to have to come under the message that we're delivering here. It's not our message. It's the Lord's message. But God is using our vocal cords and everything that we have and do. And then he uses that to to give people an expected end. That's why we keep saying, if you can only get yourself to believe what we're trying to say here, you will have everything, everything that we have. Because it says in the Bible, he that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet, he will receive a prophet's reward. I believe that everybody wants that prophet. And I believe I'm going to get that reward. And now if you can believe what we're saying, you'll get the same reward. That's just that simple as I can put it.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for another day of life, for a night's rest and everything you do for us. We just want to give you thanks for bringing us to the righteousness for our day and hour. We just want to let people know what a great God you are, and there's great blessings in serving you and following the righteousness for the day and hour. We just want to let people know the truth that you've done, what you've provided in the Laodicea church hour, and how you've moved throughout time. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.